Okay, let's pick up with the Gemara, the Mishnah and Dafid Aleph from the Beis, or that's five lines up from the bottom. The Mishnah says, Irsha Yishba Avodas Kochavim, when you have a city that has Avodah Zarah, Chutz Olam Mutter, outside of it is permitted. What are we talking about? So again, we're continuing this question of when or the circumstances in which it is permitted or prohibited to engage in business with Goyim, either on the holiday itself or shortly before the holiday. Now, Rashi tells us, what we're talking about over here, when we say an Irsha Yishba Avodas Kochavim, what does it mean, a city that has Avodah Zarah? What that means is that today is their holiday. They have their religious holiday where they go worshiping their Avodah Zarah today. So now the question is, are you allowed to do business with residents who live outside of the city? In other words, the assumption of the Mishnah is going to be then, when we say Irsha Yishba Avodas Kochavim, Chutz Olam Mutter, outside of it is permitted. It's permitted to do Masu Matan with residents outside of this city, who do not follow that Avodah Zarah. That's what we're saying right now. So Irsha Yishba Avodas Kochavim, Chutz Olam Mutter. Hay Chutz Olam Avodas Kochavim, if the Avodah Zarah was on the outside. In other words, if outside of this city there are residents who observe today as a religious holiday that they're going to be worshiping Avodah Zarah. So Tocha Mutter, inside of the city, or Tocha Law, the Bach takes out the law, Tocha Mutter, inside of it is Mutter. In other words, inside of the city, inside of the city itself, it is permitted to do business with the residents. Okay, so again, or just to simplify, if the holiday is observed inside of the city, so then with residents of the nearby place outside of the city, it is permitted to do Masu Matan. If the Avodah Zarah of the day of the Yom Eid is outside of the city, so then it's permitted to do business with the residents in the city. Okay, that's the first part of the mission. Now the mission says, Mahu Leilich Sham. What's the story with going there? In other words, what's the story? Now, the way Rashi explains it is very interesting. Rashi says, what's the story with going to that city on the holiday itself in order to just talk to one of the residents? What's the story with that? So says the Mishnah, Bismancha derech miyuchedes lo'osa makom. At a time when the path is designated for that place, usher. What does that mean? Well, the way Rashi explains this is that there's a dead-end road, that the dead-end is the city. In other words, this city is the very edge, let's say, of civilization, and there's no other, there's no road that's going to be going from this city to any place else. There's one road that goes into the city, and that's the road that people come in and out of in order to get into the city or to go out from the city. And so now you are, so now when we say when the road goes to this city and only to this city, and there's no other way to get out from this city, so then it is ushered to go there. Why? The way the Rashi explains it is because there's a chashad. It looks like you're going to worship Avodah Zarah. But, says the Mishnah, Vim haya yachol lahalich ba l'makom acher, but if you are able to go on it to a different place, mutter, then it is permitted. If it's not a dead-end road, there are other ways to go, there are other places to go afterwards, so then it's permitted to go on this road to the city. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says. Now says the Gemara, Hechidami Chutzala. What exactly is the case over here for Chutzala? When the Mishnah says that you have a city that has a religious holiday today, outside of it is permitted. What does that mean, outside of it is permitted? Well, the way Rashi explains this question is that how far does the market have to be from the city in order for us to say that it is permitted to do Masa Umatan with people at that market? So says the Gemara, Amr Rav Shimon Malakish Mishum Rav Chanina, Rav Shlakish quoted from Rav Chanina, Kigon Atluza Shal Aza. For example, like the Atluza Shal Aza. What's Atluza? Rashi explains Atluza like what we find in the Gemaras in Bukharis that discuss Itlas. Itlas was the marketplace where they bought and sold meats. Atluza Shal Aza is this animal market of Aza. Aza was a Plishti city, Rashi says, where it was very close by to the city Aza. In other words, the Atluza is this shuk that was very near the city Aza. And they were very, very close together. So the point that we're saying over here is that even when the market is very close, and the market apparently, there are locals who live by the market, so the market is very close to the city in which they worship Avodah Zarah, like the Atluza is to Aza. Okay, so says Gemara. Alternatively, the Gedami, there are those that have it as follows. Ba'amine Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Rav Chanina. The Rav Shlakish actually asked Rav Chanina the following Chakira. He said, Atluza Shalom Aza Mahu. What would be the halacha with Atluza Shal Aza? In other words, we know that the Mishnah says that if you have an ir sheish b'avodas kochavim, outside of it is permitted. What about Atluza Shal Aza? We know that Atluza Shal Aza is very close. The Atluza, the marketplace, is very close to Aza. So what would be this story? Is it permitted? Would the Mishnah, would this fit under the Mishnah's umbrella of a case where it be permitted or not? That's the question. So what's the response here? Armalei, so Rav Chanina says back to Rav Shlakish, Lo alachta l'tzor miyimecha, did you never go to Tzor? Tzor was a city, Rashi tells us, that it was a city where both Jews and Goyim lived. V'ra'isa Yisrael v'ovekuchavim, if you've never gone to Tzor and seen a Jew and a guy, sheshavsu shtei kederos agabi kira achas, that they put up onto a burner two pots onto a single stovetop. In other words, they had a stovetop, and they had two different pots going. The guy had his pot on the stovetop, and the Jew had his pot going on the stovetop. So the Jew is making his chalent, and the guy is making his pork stew. Or actually, it's a big discussion in the Rishonim what exactly he's making. We'll see in the Hamshach of the Gemara a little bit. V'lo chashalim chum, and the chum are not concerned about this. So apparently, somehow, Rav Chanina responded to Rish Lakish's question. Rish Lakish's question was, what's the story with Atluza Shel Aza? Is there any problem with going to that market in Atluza, which is very close to Aza? Would that be permitted just like the Ir Sheyish Wevus Kochavim that we discussed in our Mishnah? So Rav Chanina says back, oh, you never went to Tzor and saw a Jew and a guy who have their two pots on the same stovetop? So, and apparently Chazal and apparently the Chum aren't concerned about that. So Gemara says, "Milo chashulam chachamim." What does this mean when he says that the chacham were not concerned? What exactly is going on over here? That we're saying that apparently that there's some parallel from this case of a Jew and a guy who are cooking their food on the same stovetop. Somehow that has relevance to this question that Rish Lakish was asking on Chanina. So we have three mahalchim in the Gemara for how to explain what's going on over here. Amar Abayi. So Abayi said. And they add in over here, Lochashalem Chachamim Mishum Basr Nevela. The concern over here is potentially Basr Nevela, that maybe the guy is cooking his stew and he has not kosher meat in his stew. And we're nervous and he's cooking with non kosher meat. Lo Amina, we do not say, Dilma Mahadar Ape Yisrael Achure. Maybe the Jew will turn his face away behind. Fishari over Chachamim Nevela Bekdera. And the guy will toss in the nevela, a piece of nevela, into the pot of the Jew. That the guy's going to toss in some nevela into the Jew's chalent. The kavasa hachanami lo chashulam chacham. That just like that, over here, we're not concerned. Chacham, we're not concerned. Mishum demei avodas kochavim. That there was no concern for demei avodas kochavim, for the money of avodas kochavim. What's going on over here? So there is a very challenging Rashi to read over here. I'm going to use the version that Tosfos had for this Rashi, where Tosfos understands the Tosfos version of Rashi is that when we're talking about the Dhamma, we're talking about that the concern for Takrovot Avodah Zarah, where they would bring, they might have offered this money as a kind of a karban, as an offering to the Avodah Zarah. In which case, there's an issue daraisa over here. The Torah says, L'yidbak b'yadcha mu'uma. We know that that's talking about the Arni Dachas. We know a city that the residents, or Rova the residents, worship of a reserve. We say, you're not allowed to have anything left in your hand. L'yidbak b'yadcha mu'uma. What we understand from there is that also, if you have money, the way that Taz's version of Rashi is that the money that was used to be offered to Avodah Zarah, that would fall into this lav of lo yidbak b'yadcha mu'uma, in which case we're dealing with an iser, a potential iser daraisa. And so what Rav Chanina is responding to Rish Lakish is that the same way that when I have the Jew and the guy who are cooking their pots on top of the same stovetop, and the Jew is making his chalent and the guy is making his nevela stew, so we're not concerned that the guy is going to toss in a piece of nevela into the Jew's chalent. And so similarly, even though there's an issue d'araisa at stake over here, that there might be nevela ending up in the Jew's pot. And so similarly over here, even though there's an issue d'araisa at stake, that the guy has when the Jew is going to buy something from this guy. When the Jew is going to be selling something to the guy will be paying with money. Well, where'd he get that money from? It could be that the guy who has money at this market could be that he has demei avodas kochavim. He has money that was used to be offered to Avodah Zarah. In which case, there's an iser d'oraisa at stake of lo yidbak b'yadcha mu'uma. So same way that for the guy, we're not concerned that the guy is going to toss the nevela into the Jews' chalent. So we're not concerned, and we're not concerned for that deraisa. We're not concerned for the deraisa over here that when the Jew goes to sell this animal to the guy, we're not concerned that the guy is paying him with money that's demei avodas kochavim. Okay, that's how Abaye understands it. So Rava Amar, Rava actually says no. Mai or some take out the mai lo chashulam chachamim mishum bishulei of the chachamim. The concern over here is that Chazal the chachamim were not concerned for bishul akum. That's what the issue at hand over here is. The kavasa that like that hachanami lo chashulam chachamim mishum yom edom. The chachamim were not concerned for yom edom. What does this mean? So the way that Rashi explains this over here is that you can't tell me Abaye that the concern at hand is nevela. That there's concern that maybe the guy's going to toss Nevela into the Jews' chalent. Why would the guy do that? There's no way he would do that. He's too scared to do that. He's nervous that the Jew will see him. Maybe he'll make a claim against him in court. And there's no way that he would do something so deliberately nasty. And Tosfos explains this also, you know, that we're not choshish that the guy are going to do something deliberately nasty if they have nothing to gain. The guy has nothing to gain over here. So, and over here, the parallel case you're assuming that we could compare this to, the guy is engaging in a transaction with the Jew, so he's not trying to do anything bad. So over here, what Rava says is, so what's going on over here? What's going on is that the Chacham were not concerned for Bishul Akum. That the guy will see that the Jew's pot maybe it's about to burn or something, and the guy is going to want to help out the Jew. And maybe that the Jew himself will be depending on the guy to help him out with the cooking, and so that would be an issue of bishul akum if the Jew would eat that food, it would be an issue of using food that the guy cooked. So the same way that the Chacham were not concerned for bishul akum, that the Jew will depend on the guy and the guy is going to end up stirring the pie maybe or cooking a little bit, whatever it is that he's doing. There was no concern, and Bishul Akum is an Isser Darabanan, so there's no concern for that Isser Darabanan. So too over here, when it comes to the money, there's no concern for the Isser Darabanan over here. What are we talking about? The concern would be Yom Edom. Remember, because where the issue would be that maybe this resident is one of the residents from the local city that is worshiping the Israel. In other words, it could be that when you go to the market, that this guy that you're engaging in business with is a person who belongs to the city where they do worship Avodah Zarah today. In which case, there's an issue of doing business with that fellow, which we know that issue is an issue. Darabanan, that's not necessarily the right to do business with the guy. There's concern that afterwards, maybe he will go ahead and give hodah to Avodah Zarah, etc., whatever it was. But the point is, the business itself, the transaction itself, is only Nisr Darabanan. So the same way that there's no concern with the Isr Darabanan of Bishul Akum, so too there's no concern for the Isr Darabanan of engaging in business with the guy. Okay, there's no problem. You don't have to be concerned that maybe this guy is one of the residents from the actual city where they're worshiping Avodah Zarah today. Okay, that was Rava's explanation. The third explanation is Rabbi Bar Ula. Rabbi Bar Ula Amar Lo Chashalem Chachamim Mishum Tzinura. The Chacham were not concerned for Tzinura. Now, literally, a Tzinura is a pipe. What he means over here is that in the case where the guy and the Jew are cooking their pots on the same stovetop, there's no concern for a pipe, meaning a stream, a jet stream, going from the guy's pot into the Jew's pot. In other words, there's no concern for splattering, that maybe some of the nevelas do would splatter into the guy's Jew's chalent. That's what there's no concern for. So the kavasa that likewise over here, hachanami lo chashalem chachamim mishum lifnei eden, that there was no concern for lifnei edehen. That there's no concern of lifnei eden. In other words, Rabbi Bar Ula is telling us over here is that look, on the holiday itself, there's no way that Rav Chanina would permit anybody to do masa matan with the people of Atluza, the Bnei Atluza. The Shtei Kederes that we're talking about over here is a case that's relevant to a lifnei edehin case. In other words, remember, Rava's point was that on the holiday itself, there's no issue with doing business on the Yom Eid, which would be an Isser Darabanan. There's no issue of doing business with this fellow that you see in the market. There's no concern that maybe he's from the city itself, and it's the day of his holiday. And you'd be doing business with a guy on the day of his holiday. There's no issue with that. Rabbi Ullah says, no, that's not what's going on over here. The concern over here at hand is doing business with a guy, not on the holiday itself, but before the holiday. Remember, those are two different things. On the holiday itself, Rabbi Bar Ullah says that there's no way Rav Chanina would permit doing business with a guy, with someone at the market, on the holiday itself. Why exactly? Well, because it's super, super close. On the holiday itself, that's definitely going to be a problem. And over here, let me flesh this out a little bit differently. The way that the way that Rabbi Ullah explains this over here is that there's no issue of Bishul Akum over here. Bishul Akum, it would be an issue. Over here, all the Jew has to do is turn on the fire, stoke the coals a little bit, whatever it is that he's doing, and then there's no issue of Bishul Akum. So even if the guy would contribute some way to stirring the pot or whatever it is that he's doing, there's no issue of Bishul Akum to be concerned about. So what is the issue at hand over here? When we're talking about the guy, when we say Lo Chashlam Chachamim Shem Tzinura, what that means is that there's no concern that there's going to be splattering of food from the guy's pot into the Jew's pot. And so why is there no concern? Well, first of all, because it's not very common for that to happen. And even if it did happen, even if it were common for there to be splattering, then there's no concern because it'll be batal. Any amount that would splatter into the pot would be so insignificant that it would be batal in the Jews' chalent. So similarly over here, the Chacham were not nervous that this resident, that you're going to be doing business with, is that even though it's true, they are very close, the Bnei Atluza are very close, there's no concern for this Isser from the fellow that you're doing business with is going to be a fellow who was part of the city itself, even though it's very close. But the truth is that that's only true when it's before the holiday. On the holiday itself, we wouldn't be that makel. There's no way that Rav Chanina would be that makel on the holiday itself. Rav Chanina would be makel only for the days leading up to the holiday. Okay, so those are the three different mahalchim for how to explain this question, the second version of the Gemara, for Shlakish's question, what's the story with the Atluza Shal Aza? What would be the story? So either way, Abai's approach, that there's no concern for Basra Nevela by the case of the two Jews, the Jew and the guy who are cooking on the same stove top in Tzor. So too, there's no concern for the Isser, the Raisa of Lo Yidbak B'Yadcha Mu'um over here. Rava thinks that there's no concern for Bishul Akum over there. So too, over here, there's no concern of doing business with a guy on his Yom Eidur. And Rabbi Rula says, no, the concern was there's no concern for Tzinura, for splattering. So too, over here, there's no concern for doing business with a guy, Lifnei Eidehan. Those are the three approaches. So now, the Gemara continues. One of the points we said in the Mishnah was that what was the story with going to that city itself? And what the Mishnah said is, "Bizman shadar miyuchelos also makom aser." So now the Gemara says as follows: we have a brayse that discusses the same case. Tanur banan, ir sheyish bavaras kochavim aser likanas lasocha v'lo mitoch le'er acharis. The according to the first opinion in the brayse, Divrei Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir, is that it's when you have a city that it has a day of a holiday, that it has a pagan holiday today, it is prohibited to go into that city and not from that city to another city. Okay, v'chachamim omrim kol zman shadarech miyuchedes also makom aser. No, it's only if that path is miyuchad, is designated only for that place. And the way the Rashi and the Mishnah explained the Chacham's opinion is that there's a dead end in this city that it doesn't go from anywhere place else. So then that's where there's a problem. Ein haderech miyuchedes also makom, but if the path is not designated for that place and it is possible that you could be going to some other city afterwards, mutter, then it's permitted. At least that's the way the Rashi and the Mishnah would understand the Chacham. Yashiv lo kot, a second case that the Braisa discusses, which also seems to be like a similar kind of a Maris Ayin kind of case. Yashiv lo kot, let's say a person got a thorn, got a splinter. Befnei avaros kochavim lo yishchav yitlana, he shouldn't bend down to take it out if it's in front of an avarazara. Befnei shenir kemishtachav lo avaros kochavim, because if you're bending over in front of the avarazara, it looks like you're bowing to the avarazara. Vem eno nira, but if it doesn't look like you're doing that, so then mutter, then it's permitted. We're going to explain what this means in a little bit. Nispajula ma'osav, a third case. Let's say your money got scattered b'fnei avodas kochavim in front of an avodas zarah. So you have a whole wallet filled with coins, and the coins spilled out of your pocket in front of the avodas zarah. So now, what's the story? Lo yishchav yitleim. You shouldn't bend over to take the money because it looks like you are bowing down to an avodah zarah. But if it doesn't look like you are, then mutter, then it's going to be permitted. And again, Ezra Shem will discuss this later. Fourth case, Ma'ayan Hamoshech. If you have a spring that draws lifnei avodas kochavim, in other words, you have a spring in front of an avodah zara, some sort of a fountain maybe, lo yishchav yishta. You shouldn't drink. You shouldn't bend over and drink from this fountain in front of the avodah zara. Mipnei near kemishtach avodas kochavim, because it looks like you are bowing down to an avodah zara. Vim ein aner, but if it doesn't look like that, then mutter, then it's permitted. Partufos. If you have literally that many faces that are flowing water to the cities, in other words, if you have a maybe a statue of some sort of a person that had a hole that in the back of the head, we've seen this, where there was a pipe that was fed through the back of the statue, and there was a opening in the mouth of that statue, and so they would channel water through the statue, so that water would be coming out of the mouth of the statue. So if you have these partufos that are flowing water into the cities, lo yinich piv al pihem, you should not place your mouth on their mouth, on the mouths of these statues' mouth, in order to drink the water of Yish, in order to drink. Because it looks like you are kissing the avodah zara. A sixth point, kiyotibo, likewise, lo yaniach piv al silon, you should not put your mouth on a silon, also like a pipe leading into a cistern, v'yishta mipnei ha-sakana, and drink. And why shouldn't you drink? Because of sakana. Then we'll discuss this also, but here we're talking about a pipe that's leading into a cistern of some sort on the ground, and apparently you're drinking out of this pipe from the ground. So we'll go through that, Bezer Hashem. So those are the six cases in this Mishnah. Now, what the Gemara says right away is, Ma'ayin anira. What does it mean when they say ein anira? In other words, if it looks like you're mibnei nira, because it looks like you're bowing down to avodah zara in these various cases, then there's a problem. But im ein anira, if it doesn't look that way, then it's permitted. What does that mean? So either medula maschazi, if you're going to say that means because you're not visible, that nobody's going to see you, v'am rav yudam rav, I thought Rav said, kol makam sh'asur chacham mibnei maras ayin, anytime that Chazal forbade you to do something because of maras ayin, because it looks like you're doing an isser, even if you'd be in behind closed doors in the chedri chadarim, in inner chambers of rooms, usher, it's still going to be prohibited. In other words, anytime the chazal forbade to do something because it looks like you're doing an isser, it's still, even if no one's around, it's usher to do it. So you can't tell me that in an era looks like it's that if it's not going to be seen, in other words, if no one's going to see you, then it's okay. It can't be that way. So Ella Amos, I'll tell you what it means. When it says in a nira, it says im in a nira kimishtachav alavodas kochavim. If it doesn't look like you're bowing down to the avodah zara, if you're able to do it in a way where it doesn't look like you're bowing in front of the avodah zara, mutter, then it's going to be permitted. So when we said the if you have the thorn, if you're able to take out the thorn without it looking like you bowing before the avodah zara, then it'll be okay. Or if you have the money scattered in front, if you're able to pick up the money in a way where it doesn't look like you're bowing down, then that'll be okay. Or same thing with the mayan, if you have the fountain that's in front of the avodah zara, if you're able to drink without it looking like you're bowing down, that's okay. So says the Gemara, now wait a second though, utricha, we need all this. In other words, there are six cases that we have, or five of which are cases that are all maras ayin cases. The case of the path going to the avodah zara, the case of the splinter that you have, the case of the money. So why do you need all these cases? So says the Gemara, d'itana kotz, because if the Braisa only taught us the case of the splinter that you have, and we're talking about maybe you have a splinter in your foot and you're bending down in order to take it out. So if that's the only case that we had in the Braisa, I would tell you mishum de'efshel mezel kamei mishkele, because it's possible to walk away in front of it, from in front of it, and take it out. And maybe there, that's where we say that you shouldn't bend down to take it out in front of the avodah zara. You should walk a few feet and take it out. Avamos, but if you have the money that's scattered in front of the avodah zara, the low efshar, that's not possible to just walk a few feet away from the avodah zara and to pick up the money. That's not possible. Emelo, I would think that this brisa, the halacha, wouldn't apply in that case. V'itana mos, and if I only had the case of the money, where the money was scattered in front of the avodah zara, which some add in the line of from the Ran, is mishum pseida, the mamona there, there's an issue of a mamon, that you're going to suffer a loss if we don't give you a kul of some sort. Avol kotz, but for a thorn, a splinter, the tzara, that you have a little bit of pain, emelo, I would think that maybe there, maybe the, this halacha wouldn't apply. Vitana hani tarti, and if I had only these two cases in the Braisa, mishum delika sakana, I would think that it's because there's no sakana here. Avol ma'ayan, but in the case of the Mayana, the Ika Sakana, maybe in the case of Mayana, where a person is so thirsty that there's a Sakana, that if he doesn't drink, he might die. He might die of thirst. Dilo Shasi, that if he doesn't drink, Mayas, he's going to die. Emelo, I would think that this halacha doesn't apply, and I would think it would be permitted maybe. So tricha. So therefore I need this case. Well, let's do one more. Partufas and Yudbeis Mamedes. Partufas Lamali. What about the case of Partufas? Why do I need that case in the Braisa? Mishum de Kabai Lemisni because we wanted to teach it as a contrast to the Hemshech, where we say, and likewise, a person shouldn't put his mouth on the Silon and drink because of Sakana. And what's going to be that Sakana? My Sakana, what is the Sakana in the case of the Silon? Aluka. It's going to be what we're going to translate as the leech, that there's apparently a concern that you might swallow this leech and it's fatal. Okay, so just to summarize very briefly, what do we have over here? We have the mission that discussed doing business with Goyim on the day of their holiday. What about if you have a city that observes the holiday, but outside of that city, there are some residents over there who live there, and they're not necessarily worshiping the Avodah Zarah that day. Is it permitted to do business with them? We discussed that. We also discussed what about going on top path. And the main thing we discussed was Rish Lakish's point. Rish Lakish, with two versions of what Rish Lakish said. Either that he said that the case of the Mishnah is even like a case of Atluza Shel Aza, be permitted to do business with a guy outside of that city, just like Atluza Shel Aza, even if it's so close, like the market of Atluza is to Aza, be fine. Alternatively, is that Rish Lakish asked a question to Rav Chanina, and he said, what's the story with doing business with people at the market of Atluza when it's really, really close to Aza? And so what Rav Chanina responds is this cryptic line of, did you ever go to Tzor and you never saw that you have a Jew and a guy who are cooking their pots on the same stovetop and the Chum are not concerned about that? And so the question was, what was it? We had three different Malachim for how to explain that. And then we went on to discuss this Braisa, where there was a Machlokas about the city, about a path that goes into the Avodah Zarah, goes into the city where they worship Avodah Zarah. We have Rameir's opinion, the Chum's opinion, and we discussed a total of five cases of Maris Ayin. We explained why we needed all those five cases. And the final case was a case of Sakana, where we said you shouldn't put your mouth on top of a Silon because of a Sakana. We explained that Sakana was Sakana Salukan, but Ezra Shem will discuss, based on base, we'll discuss that Sakana a little bit more. Ezra Shem.